Osho, this, a thousand times this, the very essence of Zen. Talks given at the Osho Commune International, Pune, India. Discourse number 10.
Beloved Bhagwan, Kyojin was a scholar of great learning, and for some time this stood in the way of his enlightenment. One day, Issan asked Kyojin, "When you were with our teacher, Hayakujo, you were clever enough to give 10 answers to a single question, and hundreds of answers to 10 questions. Tell me this, what is your real self, the self that existed before you came out of your mother's womb, before you knew east from west?" At this question, Kyojin was stupefied and did not know what to say. He racked his brains and offered all sorts of answers, but Issan brushed them aside. At last Kyojin said, "I beg you, please explain it to me." Issan replied, "What I say belongs to my own understanding. How can that benefit your mind's eye?" Kyojin went through all his books and the notes he had made on authorities of every school, but could find no words to use as an answer to Issan's question. Sighing to himself, he said, "You cannot fill an empty stomach with paintings of rice cakes." He then burned all his books and papers, saying, "I will give up the study of Buddhism. I will remain a rice gruel monk for the rest of my life and avoid torturing my mind." Sadly, he left Issan and took on the self-appointed job of gravekeeper. One day, when he was sweeping the ground, a stone struck a bamboo. Kyojin stood speechless, forgetting himself for a while. Then suddenly, bursting into loud laughter, he became enlightened. Returning to his hut, Kyojin performed the ceremony of purification, offered incense, paid homage to his teacher, Issan, and with the deepest sense of gratitude said, "Great Master, thank you. Your kindness to me is greater even than that of my parents. If you had explained the profound cause to me when I begged you to give me an answer, I should never have reached where I stand today." Kyojin's verse on this occasion runs, "One stroke and all is gone. No need of stratagem or cure. Each and every action manifests the ancient way. My spirit is never downcast. I leave no tracks behind me. Enlightenment is beyond speech, beyond gesture. Those who are emancipated call it the unsurpassed."
The search
called Zen is not for anything other than your own self. It is not a study, hence no scholarship can do any justice to it. It is a very simple experience, great learning can be only a wall and not a bridge. Learning is not needed. What is needed is innocence. And a learned man is never innocent. He knows too much. He knows more than he knows. And he is too proud of all the words borrowed that he has accumulated and goes on accumulating. Zen is freedom from the world, freedom from all the advices and all the wisdom of centuries. It brings you simply back to yourself. It does not allow you to move even a little. The needle of your consciousness should point to this. Then anything can be a cause of awakening. This anecdote is simply stating the fact that even a stone is striking the bamboos can be the cause of enlightenment. Nobody in the whole history of religion has been so daring as Zen, so rebellious and so existential . Just listen to the anecdote, not as if you are listening a story or a fiction. These are facts. People have lived them. And if you can understand the same door is open to you as it was open to Kyozen. Kyozen was a scholar of great learning. And for some time, this stood in the way of his enlightenment. Every religion respects scholarship, learning, knowledge, scripture. Zen is alone and unique in its approach. It wants you to burn all the burden of scriptures to burn all the knowledge that you have borrowed so that you can come to your simple consciousness unscratched, nothing written on it, just a pure silence, a sky without any frontiers. Kyozen was a great scholar. Although he was searching for truth, but scholarship is not the way to find it. His very learning was functioning as a barrier to relax into himself. He was clinging to words, scriptures, sutras, past Buddhas. It is a hilarious situation because the Buddha is within and people are holding stone statues in their temples. The essential experience is within and people are reciting sutras of others. It is the most hilarious situation. One day, Izan asked Kyozen, when you were with your teacher, Hayakujo, you were clever enough to give 10 answers to a single question and hundreds of answers to 10 questions. Tell me this, what is your real self? The self that existed before you came out of your mother's womb, before you knew east from west. At this question, Kyozen was stupefied and did not know what to say. He racked his brains and offered all sorts of answers, but Izan brushed them aside. At last, Kyozen said, I beg you, please explain it to me. Izan replied, what I say belongs to my own understanding. How can that benefit your mind, your mind's eye, your consciousness? What I know is so deep within me, and it is not a commodity that can be given to you. You will have to find it on your own within yourself. Kyozen went through all his books and the notes he had on authorities of every school, but could find no words to use as an answer to Izan's question. Kyozen must have been a very honest and sincere inquirer. Otherwise, thousands of books are available with all kinds of answers. But there is not a single book in the world which can give you the answer that breathes, that has a heart, that can laugh, that can dance, that answer is not going to be from any other source than your own. Kyozen tried all great scriptures and notes he has taken while listening to great masters like Hayakujo, but he could not find the answer to the question Izan has raised. Who are you? What is inside you? What is your center of being? What is the flame that keeps you alive? Izan was questioning your very life source. Of course, you cannot find it in any book unless you are an stupid scholar. And there are thousands of stupid scholars around the world. The universities are full of them. They are talking about and about truth, about love, about being. You ask and they have answers for all your questions. I was expelled from one college because I insisted on the professor of philosophy that first you answer whether you know yourself or not. He tried all kinds of answers. He was a great scholar, an old man. But I was insistent that all these answers you are giving are borrowed. What is your answer? He became so much troubled. He threatened the college authorities that I will retire. Either I can be in this college or this student. He is making me so troubled I cannot sleep in night. And he is so strange that even early in the morning, 3 o'clock, he knocks on my door, "Have you found the answer?" Such questions are neither asked nor answered. The principal called me and said, "Why you are torturing that old man?" I said, "I am torturing nobody. If a man cannot answer the simplest question, then all else that he is saying is nonsense. A truth is never borrowed. The moment it is borrowed, it becomes untrue. A truth cannot be read in a scripture. A truth has to be only lived in the innermost temple of your being. Naturally, Kyozen could not find the answer. Sighing to himself, he said, "You cannot fill an empty stomach with paintings of rice cakes." He then burnt all his books and papers, saying, "I will give up the study of Buddhism. I will remain a rice gruel monk for the rest of my life and avoid torturing my mind." Sadly, he left Isan and took on the self-appointed job of grave keeper. One day when he was sweeping the ground, a stone struck a bamboo. "Do you hear the sound?" "The bamboos are shouting as loudly as they can." Kyozen stood speechless, forgetting himself for a while, and that is the whole secret of Zen. If you can forget yourself even for a split second, you have arrived home. Then suddenly, bursting into loud laughter, he became enlightened. Laughter is strangely connected with Zen experience. Either people have laughed before they became enlightened, or people have laughed after they had become enlightened, but laughter seems to be something very essential to the experience, before or after, but it has to be there. It is not an ordinary laughter. It is a laughter that I am searching for something which I have already got. It is a laughter about oneself. It is not pointing to anybody or to any incident or to anything. It is simply a recognition that I have been stupid in searching. I should have been silent rather, and in my silence let the flower blossom. Returning to his hut, Kyozen performed the ceremony of purification, offered incense, paid homage to his teacher Isan, and with the deepest sense of gratitude said, "Great Master, thank you. Your kindness to me is greater even than that of my parents. Parents can only give birth to your body. It is only the master who can trigger a process in you which brings consciousness, awareness, life at its optimum." "If you had explained the profound cause to me when I begged you to give me an answer, I should never have reached where I stand today. This is a very special standpoint of Zen. The master has not to give you a verbal answer, because the verbal answer will become knowledge, and knowledge is hindrance. The authentic master will create the situation. It is always perhaps you may be able to hear the bamboos, perhaps not. The master's function is to create a situation in which you can become awake. It is very indirect work, a subtle work. It is not a Christian preacher, a missionary, a Hindu pundit, or a Jewish rabbi talking about scriptures, quoting others. Zen wants you to remember not to believe in quotes. Let it be your own experience. Never stop before that. It is because of this Kyozen is thanking his master Isan that the profound cause to me when I begged you to give me an answer, if you had given it to me, I would have never received it. Because you did not give it, you simply created a quest in me. Who is in? I have found it. All gratefulness goes to you. Kyozen's verse on this occasion runs, one stroke and all is gone. No need of stratagem or cure. Each and every action manifests the ancient way. My spirit is never downcast. I leave no tracks behind me. Enlightenment is beyond speech, beyond gesture. Those who are emancipated call it the unsurpassed. Manisha has asked, beloved Bhagwan, is it true to say that timing is everything? No. It is not true to say that timing is everything. Because once you start thinking that timing is everything, you will stop seeking, searching. You will simply wait for the spring to come. You will become
just absolutely unaware of the fact that for enlightenment no season is right or wrong, no climate is right or wrong, every moment is ripe, just you have to catch hold of your own being. But it has been said, even by Gautam Buddha, that timing is needed. I want you to know that Gautam Buddha is simply trying to console those who cannot gather courage in this moment. He does not want to discourage them that you will never become enlightened. He is saying you will become enlightened. Just wait for the time, for the ripening, for the cause. But I say unto you, in spite of Gautam Buddha, that no timing is needed, no causation is needed, because you are already enlightened. Just you are afraid to declare it. Just you are afraid of what people will say. I am enlightened. People will laugh. They will say, look at this fellow, he is enlightened. Every day Neelam brings news to me that somebody is creating trouble, walking naked in the ashram because he thinks he has become enlightened. But just by walking naked has nothing to do with enlightenment. One woman was declaring herself a master, and one man his enlightenment, and both are cuckoos. So I told Neelam, it is better put both the cuckoos together. The woman has been declaring herself for almost 15 years. I said, Neelam, tell the woman that if you are really a master and enlightened, take care of this fellow. He is very new, needs care, and that fellow is much bigger a cuckoo. The woman cured. She said, I am no more. He is too much. I take my words that I am enlightened or I am a master. If this man has to be taken care of, I refuse. I will be simple from onward. And for 3-4 days, she has proved simple. The greater cuckoo manage the smaller cuckoo to be silent. Now she was asking me what to do with the cuckoo. I said, simply wait. Somebody will be coming who is bigger. give him into his charge. That here is your first disciple. There is no other way. And when Ananda told the enlightened man that you be either silent and stop disturbing other people, otherwise you will be given to a greater cuckoo for at least 1.5 days. He has been behaving silently, just being afraid, because here are so many potential cuckoos. I have even told Neelam to make a special office and department where cuckoos meet, discuss their enlightenment. Enlightenment is not something that you have to shout on the streets. Enlightenment is your recognition of your silent inner flame. This will make you sinner, not cuckoo. This will help even create a certain energy field around you, which can trigger other people to enlightenment. But you don't have to be a nuisance. You cannot force anybody to enlightenment. You can kill, that is not difficult. But even dead, he will remain unenlightened. Enlightenment is not something that can be done from outside, but from outside situations can be created, devices can be created in which suddenly you become aware of your own self. The master himself, his presence is nothing but a situation. Those who are thirsty will draw waters from the well. But the thirst helps to be authentic. Otherwise, people go on standing by the side of the well, thirsty, but their thirst is either intellectual or just a curiosity to know what this enlightenment is. It has to be a tremendously powerful longing in you, a very life and death question, then there is no barrier. then there is no timing. So even though it goes against Gautam Buddha's statement, I will not say that you have to wait for tomorrow. Do it now. This is the time. Manisha is asking, are that at least it is crucial in regard to what happens between master and disciple? No, nothing is crucial. What is crucial when a stone hits the bamboo? Do you think you are going to become enlightened? People have become enlightened in strange situations. There is no way of saying. You can repeat the situation, but you will not become enlightened. The situation becomes a repetitive ritual. You have bamboos, you can try. Hit a bamboo, but it is not the question of the bamboo and the sound of hitting it. It is the stillness that happened and this stillness is surrounding you. You have just to be aware of its value. You have to be aware that you are always here. No cause, no reason, no timing. Manisha is asking, is that the real reason why you wear a watch? Now, it is a secret thing, but I will tell you. If you promise not to tell anybody. I wear a watch just to see that I don't pour too much in you, that you burst. That I don't make you too much a flame, that you get burnt. This watch is simply to keep me aware. When to leave you alone, create the situation and move out of the way. Before we enter into our daily meditation, into our Zen, I am using laughter as a preface, a foreword to the coming silence. as laughter recedes into silence, greater the laughter, total the laughter, greater silence will follow behind it. Nobody in the past has ever used laughter as a device. But I find in laughter only you are once a while total. In laughter only once in a while you forget yourself. Just the laughter remains and you are not. The funeral procession is about to drive into the cemetery on top of the hill when suddenly the back door of the hearse swings open. The coffin rolls slowly out and falls with a crash on the road. The funeral director leaps out of the car and tries to stop the coffin, but it begins to slide down the hill. Faster and faster it goes until it reaches the bottom of the hill, where it hits a lamp post. The lid falls off and the corpse goes flying through the air to land face up on the drugstore counter. For God's sake, croaks the corpse, give me something to stop this coffin. Wilbur Wallace, the second Yuppie, Wall Street broker, falls in love with a young actress. He thinks he wants to marry her, but he decides before proposing that he should get a private investigating agency to check out her background and activities. After all, thinks Wilbur to himself, I have a growing fortune and a Wall Street reputation to protect. Using a false name to conceal his identity, Wilbur employs Mr. E.T. Pickle from Pickle and Pepper Private Investigator. And a couple of weeks later, receives a confidential report on the girl. The report states that she has a flawless reputation and friends and family of the best nature. The only shadow, adds the report, is that currently she is often seen in the company of a third-rate Wall Street broker. E.T. and Bertha, two middle-aged women from New York, are having a vacation at the Horowitz Hotel in Palm Springs. They are enjoying a late breakfast together one morning when E.T. asks, what are you doing tonight? Says Bertha, I have got a date with that Herman Hermstein. What? Says 80 is sloping her coffee. You are going out with him? He is a sex mania, a complete animal. He will get you in his room, throw you on his bed, tear off your dress, and then force you to make love. What are you going to do? Well, replies Bertha, I guess I will wear an old dress. Salvador goes to see his doctor because his wife keeps on having children. Dr. Fig gives him a condom and tells him to follow the instructions and his wife will have no more children. A month later, Salvador is back. My wife is pregnant again. He explains, did you follow the instructions like I said? Asks Dr. Fig. Sure, doc, says Salvador. It's a stretch over the organ before the intercourse. Well, we know gutta organ, so I stretch it over my violin. Now, be ready for the real work. As the first drum, you have to start with totality. Saying anything that is moving in your mind, all kinds of rubbish, throw it. This is a moment of cleansing. Don't hide anything because nobody is hearing. Everybody is engaged throwing his own gibberish. In this moment, to remain silent is very dangerous because all kinds of people are throwing, and silently, if you listen, you will get it. So defeat everybody. Nivedana, give the first prize. everybody falls absolutely silent. Close your eyes, no movement, just be frozen. Gather your energy in. This is the point. Nivedana, everybody relax, just be dead, let the body breathe, but you be simply conscious and utterly relaxed, watching inwards. A rare moment. This thousand times this the very essence of your being. Force the needle into this timelessness. Deeper and deeper. Nivedana, come back to life, to authentic life, just be alive. Nobody in special, but just be. You are still dead. Nivedana, hit hard. Wake up. Okay, Manisha.
Yes, Bhagwan.